Welcome to the new day, my fellow pot thoughts. I'm coming to you from folly, springy, contradictory Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Logan Eldine Misseldine, and today is a super special treat, everybody. I'm joined with my gorgeous, intelligent, beautiful wife, Rachel Misseldine.
Hi, everyone. He was going to say my middle name.
I didn't want to embarrass her like that. But today we've got a really other big special treat. I've invited my wife for her opinions and insight. And we're going to unpack the music video by Childish Gambino's This Is America. And you heard a little bit before, you know, you heard me talking. But if anybody hasn't watched the video, hasn't listened to the song already, I fully recommend you do that before we go in here so you're not going in blind. It's very interesting, has a lot to say about a lot of things, obviously, and it's kind of obvious what we're going to be talking about a little bit here, but we're going to be having two varying opinions, two varying experiences, and we're going to be just learning from one another and really trying to help anybody else learn from it too. And we've got tons of notes, we've got supporting articles and videos that we've been reading and trying to get a real good grip on what he's truly trying to say, since we're not getting it from him himself. So hopefully you all understand where we're coming from, and if I say anything truly embarrassing or anything, please forgive me. Rachel's gonna be guiding me through this. You know, I personally don't want to say anything ridiculous. I'm a little nervous about it, but I have my trustworthy wife with me, so hopefully we'll be doing okay. So if you hear any weird noises in the back, it's probably the dog flipping out over nothing. So we're trying to keep this as professional as possible. So, and after this, you're going to hear a short little transitional sound and segment, and we're going to break into this. And so I hope that everybody enjoys this and learns something from it. So thanks for listening, everybody. Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're here. Hope you enjoyed that. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to just kind of just run it down. Just run down what's going on here.
Let's run down first what I want to say is that this podcast isn't to start fights. It isn't to offend anyone. This is to educate each other. You guys educating Logan and educating me, and, you know, just constant listening to each other and trying to be open to each other's opinions and thoughts. And Logan and I, ever since we started dating and ever since we've been married, I've been educating him on race in Buffalo, in New York, in America, and in, you know, what's important to me in the way that I've experienced the world. And he's educated me on what he's experienced. You've grown up with guns, yeah. And not grown up with guns, but he's grown up, you know, hunting, and his grandfather loves to go up to the shooting range, and, you know.
We've had two very polar different foundations, in especially political or societal. She's very much different than I am, and I'm very much different than her, but
it's so funny, because we ride the line of, like, conservative and, like, liberal.
It's so, we're both so, like, I mean, obviously one leans more left than the other, but and right the other as well, but we just are at the perfect line of just like she said, in the middle, but that we're able to kind of just transfer ideas. We're kind of like, we feel like we're kind of messengers for each other. So a lot of times we just got a little, essentially where one has misconceptions, the other one has the answers for them. And so it's been this perfect little thing. And especially within the past year, I've been really, really mind blown over a lot of the things that she's shown me about what's been going on. And I've been really, like, breaking down a lot of the walls and things that I was confused about.
So it just takes talking to. I mean, my family has been he took my mom to a shooting range. My mom wouldn't touch a shooting range, you know, years ago before she met him. His parents, I've educated them. You know, I've told them some things about privilege and my thoughts and my feelings, and they've been like, wow, okay, so that's where you're coming from. And it's all about talking, and that's what we're here to do. So absolutely. Should we jump into it?
Yeah, let's jump into this, you know, first-hand experience. Let's get this rolling, people.
So This Is America. So we're looking at the video right now, and we're looking at a couple different notes. So I thought that the best thing that we could do was just go from beginning to end and sort of unpack it. So while the music video is going, it just begins with, like, a guitar on a chair. A man sits down with a bag over his head. Gambino comes up behind the man after like a really kind of jovial sounding music. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that music, I don't know if you noticed, mm-hmm. Logan, is it's very, if you hear like music of African celebration, that's what it sounds like. It's like drum and mm-hmm. like even the very, I don't know, these beautiful sounds and you know what I'm saying?
It's very, like, something you referred to me, I like the terms of Pan-Africanism. It's where it's like, you know, it has that kind of like Pan-African where it's like, it's not specific to any one thing that anybody would really know, but it just kind of encapsulates kind of the stereotype and kind of like the feeling of. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting that he uses, because he also uses his rhythm. It's also very much kind of based off that. You get this kind of idea, his facial expressions, you know, kind of mimic this as well. It's very, you know, lighthearted, you know, and it's a light room. It's very interesting that it kind of starts off such in a jovial tone, like my wife said. But it's interesting that as well as, you know, as we're going on with it, and, you know, the man starts playing the guitar, you know, and it pans away from him, and we see his name is Donald Glover. So we see Donald, he's dancing, and he's doing these things, and he turns, and when the man comes back into the frame, he's covered in a bag and like held hostage in a sense, and then Donald Glover shoots him. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that shot rings out, like it turns darker. It still has that Pan-African kind of feel to it, but it turns a much darker tone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What I think is interesting too is when the man sits down, puts the bag over his head, Donald Glover, let's just call him like Childish.
Yeah, we'll just call him Childish. Yeah.
Childish comes up. He's got this gun. What kind of gun is it, Logan?
That's a handgun.
It's a handgun. And this is what's interesting about Logan and I's relationship is that he'll be here to talk about the different kinds of guns, and we'll unpack that too. Yeah. But so he's got a handgun. He gets into a stance and shoots this guy in the head. I mean, It's real.
It's brutal. It's pretty brutal. I mean,
the camera doesn't go away.
No, I mean, it's not the goriest thing, but it's still enough to invoke confusion of what's going on.
Oh, it shocked the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting because like it starts off the whole this whole theme that we have. It's very distracting. It's very confusing. There's a lot of excuse me, everybody. Oh, sorry, my drink over here is making me burp here. Sorry, but. The thing is that ever since this happens, all of a sudden there's so much activity and commotion that comes around them, and it you know, starts shocking. But I think Rachel wants to talk about something that is specific about the way that, you know, Childish, the pose that he took when he shot the man.
Yeah,
there's something interesting
so
about that.
A lot of people are getting to understand and getting to see and know these images, and I feel like this music video is for Black people, the Black community, to kind of identify with, but it's also really deep for white people, white Americans, to kind of see into the mind, you know what I'm saying, of like mm-hmm. the Black community, mm-hmm. and kind of just to understand images that are important to us, our history, our culture, things that have shaped us. So his stance before he shoots this man in the head, he sort of like bends his right knee, puts his left leg straight, he really like extends his arm out. It's very like flamboyant, very like, oh, look what I'm gonna do. So a lot of people have compared that stance to a Sambo figure. So for people who don't know what Sambo is first off, a very racist term for a Black, I would say more a Black man.
Yeah, it's more of a man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A Black man. This source says a Black person. So it's like, it's an extremely dark figure with very, very huge lips. He's like super kind of clown looking and jovial and a how do I explain, like a Sambo, like it's like
it's a caricature of
like
especially
entertainment, yeah. And like goofiness, but like to be made fun of.
Yeah, it's a gregarious caricature of Black men's features, mm-hmm. and demeanor, especially within the 1800s era. You know, where people would just see them, especially accentuates the stereotype that people assume them looking like monkeys, the ears and the mm-hmm. the lips and stuff. It's very derogatory.
Oh,
and
totally.
It's very cartoonish
it
as well.
It says a lot. I mean, it says a lot about dark-skinned people, too. Mm-hmm. I'm a light-skinned woman. You know, that's a privilege I have. But this says a lot about dark-skinned people. You know, mm-hmm. aren't they taken seriously? They're the lowest of the low. I mean, that's... it's pretty, it's
kind of like they're like the undesirables, the untouchables in the bottom of a caste system.
It's a sad thing. And I think that Childish makes that pose before he shoots this man, because he wants to make the statement that this is entertainment. This is not that it's funny. We are not saying it's funny. We're not saying it's entertaining. We're saying that it's used as a form. This isn't what we watch. Guys, we're home 8+ hours a day on our phones looking at videos of black men and women getting shot. This is our, quote, entertainment. This is what we watch. This is our TV now. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important.
It is. It's a theme prevalent throughout all of this is the entertainment aspect, especially modern entertainment, especially with phones and things. I mean, we're waiting for this video to kind of catch up to where we've been pausing it. So we're trying to, we're trying to break this down as it goes. So especially, and it's interesting also that immediately after Childish, uses the gun, another child comes up and, on a red cloth, very gingerly takes the gun and whisks it away. And that's something we'll break into a little bit later, but it's just interesting that we notice right in the very beginning. A lot of these things are very powerful for the video that are coming up in the beginning.
I think it's interesting, what he decided to wear as well. He doesn't have a shirt on. He has gold chains on. He has these gray pants. And what I've read about the gray pants, now Childish doesn't want to talk about this. He's been in so many interviews and he's like, you know what? I'm not unpacking this music video for you. You figure it out yourself. But a lot of people have come to the conclusion that, what was it again? The pants?
The pants are, they're based off of the uniform of Confederate soldiers, especially the gray bottoms. They're gray pants with the style that comes up to the hip and the buttons specifically, it's pretty close to that look.
So why do you think it's important for him to be wearing them as a black man? Why would he be wearing that?
The way that I wrote this down in my notes, the way that I interpreted that, let me see if I can find this, is that, I mean, it's almost kind of like, it's like kind of alluding to how, there's still Confederate ideals, essentially, that still affect, especially the black community to this day.
We're literally wearing that on our shoulder. That's literally a piece of us.
Yeah. And especially since it's only the... And there's something else, and this may or may not really make sense, but there's something along with the lines of that, is that where it's only... He's only wearing pants. He's wearing shoes, but, he's only wearing pants. He's wearing shoes that don't match. They're very flashy shoes. But it's almost like a lot of times, especially here in the white community, we look at, black people and we always assume they're like, oh yeah, they always have their pants sagging, they always have this, they always have that. And it's interesting how it's like the pants that he's showing, whereas, they're all the way upright, but that's something, that's kind of how he's using that as a symbol. It's like something that we see as this negative thing. He's almost showing it where it's these ideals that we still have in our head that are attuned to that. They're still affecting us today, but that's like a specific detail that we can all kind of understand that through.
He also has no shirt, which I think is interesting. He's very vulnerable. He's got nothing to hide. We all know the tragedy of poor Trayvon Martin, who was unfortunately killed for wearing a hoodie and having his hands in his pockets, whereas Childish Gambino has he ain't got nothing to hide. You know what I mean? He's very, very vulnerable, chest open. I think it's super interesting how the camera's focused on him, how when the little boy took the gun away from him after he shoots that man, the little boy, again, like you said, takes the gun away gingerly, but they cart the black man off that was sitting in the chair with the bag over his head. They drag him by his hands. They cart him off. He's gone. There's no delicate. They don't pick him up. He's on the floor being dragged. And I definitely think that goes to show that what we value, what Childish Gambino believes that we value. We value guns over black bodies, black lives. That is a really hard pill to swallow. I think I love Logan's family. A lot of Logan's family members, a lot of my family members too, we've not seen eye to eye. They don't really get what that means, that black bodies don't matter.
And it's not that they themselves don't care about these people. There's very much compassionate people, but he's a lot. One of the themes through this that we've picked up is that it's more of the media, the way that they transcribe it to the common people, us as the people, where the portrayal is. And that's more what we're talking about. We're not talking so much about how true that truly is, because we understand that there's so many people in our lives, especially individual, my own family and stuff, that we do care about people. We do care about these people, and that's the thing. But it's more of the portrayal in the media, which is one of the biggest problems that we have nowadays with these topics. Mm-hmm.
So as we transition on, and as we, you know, Childish Gambino keeps walking in this sort of like factory building, we see that he's joined by little kids in school outfits. That's, I think, very purposeful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all these dances that we identify with as like a younger generation. And I'm not gonna lie, I will admit, I saw some dance moves he was doing and I was like, oh yeah, I know that dance move. And I completely disregarded what was happening in the back. Mm-hmm. There is chaos, cars being, you know, people running away for their lives, guns, cars being smashed into. All the while, Childish and the children are dancing.
They're smiling, and they're happy.
Whipping. I mean, they're doing everything.
They're doing everything. There's a lot of stuff that I don't recognize myself, but like it's very pleasurable to look at. They're having fun. They're dancing really well. Like, mm-hmm. it looks like a lot of fun, personally. I love being in that little circle, but it's interesting how that's the focal point the whole time, and it was really hard, even us just trying to unpack this video every time we watched it, that it's very hard to keep our eye off of him. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. We have to really hard look and search very hard to look at the other things going on. You can only catch so many few things until something new that they're doing is bringing you right back.
Yeah, it makes you question what distracts us. It seems like every time we're getting somewhere, every time we're finally starting to have the conversations of what does it mean to be a Black person in America right now? What does it mean to be a white person in America right now? Every time we're joining together in these conversations, something comes in, distracts us, this new craze, Tide Pods, you know, millennials, blah, 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 whatever it is that distracts our minds, there's always something that takes us away from the meat of what we need to be discussing and what we need to change. So let's continue on.
Yeah, we'll continue on. Yeah.
So he's continuously dancing, and then this part,
this part's pretty brutal.
Part definitely got me.
Yeah, we're transitioning to the point where there's the choir, and then there's a choir singing, and he comes in a door, and he peeks his head around all, like, playfully, and he comes in, and he does some dance with himself while they're singing, and having a great time, and there's a specific allusion to what event this is based off, but he comes in and he dances, and then there's a point where he visibly becomes essentially over it. He's over what they're doing. He doesn't like the song anymore, and so he sticks his hands out and he receives an AK-47 fully automatic rifle, and he grazes over him with bullets, and he kills a couple, and you know, and then he continues on.
Yes, and so what we came to, what we discussed was, what some articles are discussing too is that he comes in and he enjoys their choir music, and a lot of people are saying that Black culture is exciting when it's music. It's exciting when we're doing, you know, parades.
When they're clapping and when they're
when
they're having a great time.
Again, we're going back to that Sambo image. Mm-hmm. It's fun when they're entertaining, but then when we're over it, what do we do? And so he gets over it and he kills this choir. And it's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it's a direct allusion to, was it the Charleston massacre?
Yeah, so the Charleston shooting. For those of you who don't know, I'm just going to read this little excerpt here, just really, really fast. So the Charleston shooting, also known as the Charleston Church Massacre, it was a mass shooting and hate crime in which white supremacist Dylan Roof murdered 9 African-Americans at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. He was 21 years old. They're deeming him a terrorist, a supremacist, which they definitely should. He killed a senior pastor, things like that. He came in and committed a hate crime. Essentially, this was a race issue, essentially. Mm-hmm. And this is an allusion to that. You know, going in a place of faith, a place where God is supposed to be. And not only that, if you don't believe in God, cool. But this is a place where people meet together to find joy, and somebody has come in and taken that joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he shoots this choir. He has that AK-47.
Mm-hmm.
big gun.
Yeah, which, but the interesting thing about that is that, especially for terrorists and terrorism and things, the AK-47 is probably the one of the single most popular weapons, or small arms, as they're called, for terrorists, because they're very cheap to make, they're very... you can replicate it very well. It's been used a lot. You know, it was made by the Russians. The Chinese have made versions. They're very inexpensive compared to more modern, even American weaponry. And so that's one of the reasons why you see it so often. And so I don't know necessarily. We didn't look into see if that was the weapon that he used himself, but that's one that's very easily recognizable. And I think Childish used that for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm. And he hands the gun, the big gun, again, off to a child who carts it away on a red cloth. And then the bodies aren't cared about. Childish walks away and whatever.
We move on from them.
We move on from them. The red cloth is interesting too. I've read a lot of things where it says it represents blood. I've read a lot of things too where it represents sort of Republican ideals where, you know, their guns truly matter to them. I don't know how I feel about that. I know so many good Republicans. I just don't know what to say to that. I don't want to put them all under one umbrella. No, I don't think Childish would either. He's a very intelligent person.
No, he's a very open person as well. And the fact that he's comfortable using these images in his video and the fact that he's doing them themselves, I think he understands that. I think he's referring to very specific examples. I don't think he's referring exactly to these specific amounts of these types of weaponry. I think he's referencing these specific actions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are afraid of, you know, like, oh, my hunting will go away if I take my things away. My recreational shooting, my long-range shooting will go away. I don't believe that's what anybody's real goal is. Anybody who's legit and in an honest opinion position of power. I think the media takes a lot of what I call fear-mongering, and then they like to whip things up so that people actually talk about them. Because especially with this whole confusion that we're talking about, it's very hard to stay focused on something. It's very hard to get anybody's attention to stay on one thing. So I think the media does take a lot of this fear-mongering on both sides, whether it's, you know, oppression or it's, you know, taking away of something that's valuable to us. And I believe what he's talking about more is just that act of violence. I think, you know, that's something we need to dismantle in a way and to talk about.
Yes, and this is something that we unpacked, and this was something very hard for me to talk about with Logan. And him and I really do agree on a lot of stuff, but this was something we needed to talk about. Guns for me have always been a no-go. My whole life growing up, guns are a no-go. Don't touch them. Don't look at them. Getting to know Logan, Logan's a hunter. Logan just likes to go to the range and shoot. Having a gun in our home, things like that. That's been a big transition for me.
Yeah.
What I have come to know is that they are great for things like defending, for, you know, hunting appropriately, things like that. What they are not great for is violence. And that is something Logan and I both definitely agree on, and that is something I believe Childish is touching on. We're talking about gun violence, not gun use necessarily.
I would say gun owning.
Gun owning.
That's not any, you know, for a lot of legitimate people that do understand topics and that are more for gun control, I think they do understand this. Mm-hmm. I think especially the way that we do outcry for things, I think any legislation, even if it's more from a Democratic end, I think it would have to include things that would accommodate for gun ownership itself. I think it's just more of ways that they try to, and a lot of it may be wrong and it may not work, and it may not work ideally. Absolutely not. A lot of things I've seen and they don't work. It's not helping. I think that anything from that side would need some more reform and not continue the way that it's doing, because it's kind of adding to more fear, which adds more power to the people that do abuse it.
I think with a lot of my friends, a lot of my more liberal friends, I think what our biggest concern is, you know, when something gets power, it just seems to be abused. You know what I'm saying? It just seems to take that power and abuse it. So, like, with bad police officers, not all, but the bad ones, when they get in that power, they'll abuse it. And then we have police brutality, where I'm not mad that you're a police officer. I am mad that you're a police officer who is doing brutal actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is, I am not mad you have a gun. I am mad you had a gun and you shot children. Mm-hmm. You shot choir members. You shot a black man on his cell phone in his backyard. You shot a young boy with his hands in his pockets because he had some Skittles. I mean, that's when there needs to be a change. And this is starting that conversation.
Absolutely. And I think I think there's a lot of things that we need to pendulum on, because I think a lot of the things that we're seeing nowadays, it's kind of the first outbreak, and a lot of times these things have been like held in and they've been repressed in the media, and so for a long time, and now that they're finally starting to leach out, they look kind of crazy. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're talking about this now. Like, and then they say we say a lot of crazy things because like we're trying to figure out what we actually really mean about this. So a lot of times, a lot of people's first statements aren't really the truth of what they really want. It's just a lot of emotion put into it. But you know, the thing with cops is that I grew up around cops. Some of them, you know, there was a neighbor who was a sheriff, and mm-hmm. you know, and I know a lot of these people. I know a lot of people who are in the military as well, and I understand mm-hmm. that these people aren't bad. And I've expressed this to Rachel as well, and we both have people that have been cops and stuff, and we do understand, but we also understand that people are people, and there are people that will abuse power, because we see it. You see it in teaching. Rachel wants to be a teacher, you know, she's going to school for it, and she sees in a lot of the principles that she's taught under, you know, they just use the power that they have to mm-hmm. enact some sort of emotional response. It's a human thing, and that's gonna happen no matter what we do, but we need a better way of addressing it, and we have been addressing it in this place.
Really, honestly, me and Logan really haven't come to a conclusion. I think that we can easily say that. We're not going to sit here and pretend like we have. I think we've talked about things like there needs to be more training, you know, whatever. There's just things that we, you know, have touched on and discussed.
And there are, and it's great, and a lot of things called de-escalation, which is wonderful. And we saw an example, I showed her a video of a police officer in Utah that a man, you know, he got pulled over and he was going crazy, and he was threatening the cop with his life, wanting him to shoot him, and the cop was doing all the perfect procedure, and he even pulled out his pistol, but he ended up putting it away, and as the man charged him with a knife, he ended up tasing him and arresting him instead of shooting him, and mm-hmm. it was a death averted, but he still had the full right, which is interesting, and that's a wonderful step that I know that a lot of cops are taking, a lot of...
So basically, like, de-escalation is taking a very high-intense situation. There's guns, there's a weapon involved, there's something scary, but what the police officer needs to do is, instead of shooting, which a lot of them have done, at least what I've seen in the media... They to calm down. Mm-hmm. The situation needs to be calmed down, and that is a personality thing. Mm-hmm. That's a training.
Thing. That's not always going to happen. It happened in Toronto just recently, but it's wonderful when it can happen. But we do understand that it's not always going to happen, and there's going to be mistakes made. Mm-hmm. But the more training that they do get, and that we all do get our own selves and training in our conduct and stuff in this world, that things will end up being better. We should not push away things that aren't going to work immediately and aren't going to work every time, because they are going to help more often. It's just like with anything. So mm-hmm. that's more of where we're coming up with this. So mm-hmm. we don't want anybody to think that we're against cops, we're against guns, any either end of that. We just want to see them.
I think what a lot of people, my conservative friends, my liberal friends, my Republican, my Democrat friends, whoever, we all can come to the conclusion we just want what's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so... I kind of want to move away from this just because I don't want people to get upset with us mm-hmm. because we're still, obviously you guys can see, we're still discussing this on our own. But a topic that I did bring up was media, you know, mm-hmm. All I've mm-hmm. seen was cops do this. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I've seen. So there's this part in this video, it transitions at 2:30 to children above the scene of the violence on their cell phones, and they're recording all the violence below. I think that I have seen so many of my friends, and I love them, and I'm proud of them for going out and going to the Women's March, going to Black Lives Matter marches and movements, you know, but what good is a picture that you were there than doing something?
Absolutely.
Not that that's not doing something.
No. We take, and the media does have a lot of power, but we also take it and kind of put it to extreme. And a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of your friends are sincere in doing it, but there's a lot of things that I've seen mm-hmm. and experienced, and there's a lot of things that we do see where it's like, okay, I have this picture, I have this thing, I went to this video, I have this video of me going to this thing on my page, so therefore I am now seen as an advocate, I am now seen mm-hmm. as having a pull and an interest in this, and that I'm mm-hmm. doing my part. But a lot of times when it comes into more personable things outside of that crowd mentality that you can have that makes it so easy, when it gets slightly difficult, they can move past it. And it's interesting also that I saw that these children, they had masks. And something interesting that I noticed is that a lot of, you know, a lot of media and a lot of things, especially with social media, is that like there's a sense of anonymity, if that's the right word, when like you can stay behind the camera. And as long as you're behind the camera, you're kind of safe because you're recording it and you're just presenting it. You don't have to have a hand in it. And a lot of times, you know, that can lead to a kind of a sense of power. It's like, oh, I'm recording, but my face isn't here. No one's looking behind where I'm at. We're only looking at what I'm recording here, and that's all I need to do. And it's interesting, and that kind of anonymity also leads to a lot of more negative aspects of what people think they can say, what they can do, and, you know, to other people as well, and to talk about these things.
And something that's cool, too, that you talked about was I got really upset. Because I'm not going to lie, I've seen so many black men die in front of their girlfriends, in front of their sons, in their backyard. I mean, I have seen so many disgusting videos. It really broke my heart. And I told Logan, I am pissed. I'm pissed. Put your phone down and help them. Put your phone down and help them. And Logan, you know, has explained to me, and what we've come together to decide on is that without those recordings, we wouldn't even know that those things happened. There would be no action, and we wouldn't have the knowledge of these injustices. So we're there again. Here we are, riding the middle line of it's good to record, but also we need action. But also, I can't really judge if you did a lot of action while you were at the march or wherever you were at, because I wasn't there with you. There's a huge line of media, and oh, Childish is riding it.
Oh, absolutely. It's also really interesting is that it's not just the actions that we're seeing, and I'm gonna lead into more of that. I lost my train of thought for half a second there. But it's interesting. The lyrics themselves have a lot of them are like just true excerpts from tweets. And from posts and from lines, other lyrics from other songs, and just kind of like cultural things that are out there and about now.
Little excerpts from different like other rap songs, whatever. Yeah.
But a lot of them it's specific to kind of like how did I say this? I had this written in my notes that I can't read my own handwriting here. A lot of these excerpts they're taken from these things, but a lot of them have to deal with kind of like I gotta get ahead, gotta get money, gotta use this media attention that I'm getting, and to propel myself forward, propel my brand, my market, you know, and just the way that people talk about certain things. And you know, it's all the while like, he's doing these distracting things, whereas, you know, kind of reality is going on behind it. It's like we're not talking about the things that we should, like intermittent, because we're kind of accepting this chaos behind us, but we're staying in this little media bubble.
Rap game has definitely changed.
Oh, my gosh.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So talking about that sort of the getting your money and the things like that. He has lyrics that say, you know, grandma said, get your money, comma. And then he says, yeah, black man, get your money, black man. You know, he repeats the black man part. Get your money. You're in this entertainment business, but you're still a black man.
Yeah. Yeah. And the video goes on to where at one point, what does he say right there? He says, because it's him and the children all around him, and they're dancing, and he's saying these things.
And then there's a pause. It's like a transitional period where the music kind of goes soft again, and everybody's gone, and it's just him. And he's moving on, and he pulls out a joint. He's smoking this joint. Yeah. And, you know, he's on top of this car. It's interesting, too, that all the cars are from the 80s or 90s.
Yes, yes.
There was an article that talked about how the cars sort of represent the fact that we talk about owning a Lamborghini, owning all these expensive things. We want to have it all.
Exactly.
Essentially, we think we can have it all. I mean, people have careers off of YouTube, people.
Yeah.
We think we can have it all.
Exactly.
But essentially, most of the world is not living that way. We are living commonality.
But we're stuck in a kind of a status quo. And it's interesting that he uses these cars because he's not leading into the typical rap game, so to speak. He's really talking about real life in itself, and it was really interesting to me that the cars weren't even from the 2000s, which I think were really ugly and would have done the same purpose, but it's really interesting that it's from the 80s and 90s, because I have your opinions about cars, but I believe a lot of those cars are more dependable, mm-hmm. and a lot more reliable, and a lot of times, especially in the most poor areas, these are the cars that people rely on, the real common people, especially, you know, mm-hmm. people in poor areas that, you know, can feed into the rap game thinking of like, oh, I gotta get my money so I can get my Lambo. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, when I lived in the South, that I talked a little bit about, it's a common thing where there's people that live in trailer homes, trailer parks, they 12 by 20 or whatever they're called, but yet they'll have the newest Mustang out, and either they own it or they lease it or whatever, but it's such a common theme out there where it's like, you know, they would rather live in a smaller home than and have this a car just seems to be a simple, easy kind of sense and symbol of status, mm-hmm. where my car is like this, mm-hmm. my car is like that, I have this in my car, even to the point where people will take these kind of cruddy little cars and put these take the muffler off so it sounds more manly. Yeah,
but he definitely talks about how that's so unimportant. Mm-hmm. He before this happens, before he's, you know, it's the quiet music and he's alone with this joint on top of this car, he was, you know, when he was dancing with the kids, he was talking about, oh, I got this Gucci shirt on, I'm so pretty, and then he goes, but don't catch you slipping now. Slip.
Yeah.
Stay focused. Yeah. Don't let that get to you. That's unimportant.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do like that. That's,
damn, Rachel.
I know. that was one of the most common things that he's saying in this thing is like the chorus is you know, don't catch you slipping now, don't catch you slipping now, look what I'm whipping now. And it's like that's a common phrase that I've seen and heard from a lot of people. Where it's like, you know, like, oh, like, you know, you're not going to catch me slipping. You're not going to catch me getting behind. I'm going to stay forward. I'm going to stay ahead. Mm-hmm. And there's a line in here where he says, let me find it, everybody. I'm sorry. It goes along the lines of, look how I'm living now. These police be tripping now. And it's interesting because a lot of times the way this media portrays that we're out of slavery time, we're out of Jim Crow time, we're out of this time where, you know, we're being truly oppressed. And granted, yes. And I this is going to sound
literally kind of,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And granted, you know, at this point, we all have the highest standard of living here in America, even in the poor area. We have the highest standard of living that we've ever had in the entire existence of mankind. That's true, absolutely, but it's interesting how, like, we still have these...
So, that's funny say that.
Yeah.
Because I don't agree with you. Think we have sure, times are better. Okay, yay, black people can vote, you know, whatever.
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, I'm saying, yeah. Like, if that's what you think is... You know, your little... Not you, Logan. I'm talking about everybody else. If
I'm
that's
getting all
what,
offended.
If that's what media... If that's what people think is a little breadcrumb to the black community, I don't agree with you. I think that times is hard.
No. All right. Don't get me started on that. No, but that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say is that, yeah, I mean, like, from, like, our perspective... You know, we're like, oh, yeah, look, your life is great. You have a phone, you have a car, you have all this, you have, you know, welfare and all this, and that. You know, you should be happy, you should be fine, you should be able to get ahead. You know, we have affirmative action. Why aren't you ahead yet?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, the most obvious one is the police brutality. Like, no matter what, you're still going to get pulled over. You're still going to get looked at. You're still going to be accused in the first thing. Even if it never really happens in your life, you're still going to be first
looked. You guys, Logan and I were at the
Broadway Market.
The Broadway Market, right?
Which is
here in beautiful Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's
like a farmer's market type of thing, but like more so. It's a huge building where it's just like... booths and merchants and stuff. They sell all sorts of things from food to clothing and jewelry, homemade stuff.
And we were like at this booth and the guy was like selling like
sausages and meats and, you know, delicious meaty treats.
And he was handing it out to people, like different samples. And it wasn't like I was in the background of everybody. I very clearly was in the middle of everybody else. I stood forward and
we made eye contact.
And it's not like I had to say something to him like, oh, excuse me, sir, because he was just handing the meats out to people. But he very obviously rolled his eyes, looked the other way and ignored me. And then the minute that Logan stood next to me, he came right up to Logan and help Logan out. Now, I know a lot of our conservative, Republican, white friends are going to question that, and they're going to be like, well, so he couldn't have seen you, the eye roll you could have imagined. This has happened way too many times in my life for me to imagine. This isn't like I'm sitting here like, oh, he rolled his eyes. No, I'm exactly paranoid. Exactly. This is like, this is now, what am I, 22 years old? Exactly. How many times a day does that happen to me?
and it's not just like we waited 30 seconds and then I came up. Like, we waited, it was like 5 minutes, people had gone, people had left. And it's to the point where somebody like me, who I'm not looking for anything like that. I have no idea. Like, a lot of times Rachel's trying to catch my attention and things, and I'm oblivious and she gets mad at me. It's like, how on earth did you not see that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I did not notice a single one of that thing. I've never had to. Mm. I've never had to be on guard in situations like that. Not that, like, we had to be on guard. I mean, he did address her and talk to her, but...
Well, that's your privilege.
Exactly. And that's something that's really hard for people to swallow. It took me a long time.
Honestly, you guys know that meme, the hard pills to swallow? This is one of those.
Yeah, seriously. Honestly, up until this last year, I didn't really... Until that moment, really, I didn't really understand, because... a lot of times being with Rachel, like, even me just being with her was enough for people to notice her.
You guys, people, like, in stores, like in Kohl's and Target, used to follow me, watch me. When I'm with Logan,
they don't do that.
And so I've always noticed people watching whatever. But when I got married to Logan, when Logan and I started living together and being with each other every single day, I noticed it way more. And it was about... what was it, Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
I was walking around Target, and me and Logan are together every day. Like, everybody who knows us, like, we're obsessed with each other.
I mean, we don't have kids, we don't have anywhere else to go.
Stop that. No, we really do love and cherish being together. But I obviously had to be without him because I had to go get him Christmas presents. And it was so plainly obvious that I was being watched. I had a woman come up to me when I picked up like a, I think it was like a shirt or pants or something, and asked me if I intended on buying them, which I could be trying it on, who cares, why are you even near me? You know, and it really is plainly obvious to me, these truths, these things that happened to me, that Logan has been able to see.
Sorry. And then so going back to the video now. So after he smokes the doobie, it transitions once again, and he's running through a darker part of the warehouse. He's sprinting. His face is contorted. Yeah. He's in terror. There's people in terror behind him. It's not clear what is chasing him, and that's how it all ends.
Yes. And we have talked about that, and The jail system is going to be a completely other podcast. That is going to take up so much time. I can't even begin to unpack the jail system. What I will say is this. There are people that do really bad things and they deserve to be in jail. And I know that for a fact. But I also know that there are young black men, older black men, black women, people of color, okay, not even just the black community, who are put into jail for a number, a percentage, racism. There's all different reasons why there's so many people of color in the jail system. And it's interesting because a lot of the crimes that some family members have been unfortunately arrested for, some, you know, good friends have unfortunately been approached by a cop for, is marijuana. And that's another topic. Marijuana, is it right, is it wrong, whatever. I think that marijuana is, like, how do you even explain that? It's so much less than shooting somebody.
Honestly, yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
I'm not all for marijuana myself. Like, obviously, this podcast called Potless Thoughts. Like, I personally don't need weed. Like, obviously, I'm not for it or anything as well. Personally, I think it's because, like, in all honesty, it is kind of like the lesser of all demons compared to all sorts of drugs.
We're not against. No. We don't give a shit. You do what you want to do.
It's becoming legal. Like, what are we going to do? Like, honestly.
But the point is that very little thing. And in reality, guys, our religious friends, whoever's listening to this, reality, that is so... Marijuana is so much less then the shooting, then the violence, then the brutality, then the looting, then the, you know, it's so not worth throwing somebody in jail for, whereas Brock Turner, who raped a girl behind a dumpster, gets to go in, gets to leave jail after, what was like, it, three or 5 months or something like that. It was so like a very short month time because he's a good boy and a good swimmer and he needs to get out.
And then can go on and go through like auditoriums and proclaiming like, oh, how to protect yourself from, if, I don't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. It was such a pity party thing. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that one bit at all. But, you know, Rachel had that opinion based off of the weed thing, and I agree with that. I really like it. That might have been more what he was going for, but the first time I noticed is because it was such a hard transition from him standing on top of the car with the doobie, with the roach, and
the devil's lettuce,
yeah, jazz lettuce, because it went up. Most transitions, you know, kind of went up and down a little bit here and there, but like it was a hard pan up and around, and it seemed like it was so separate, and I think it went along with the theme of like, you know, how long do we, kind of like where we went with the choir, like he got over the music, because he's been the entertainer this entire time. He's been the number one focal point. He's been the one pushing these trends, so to speak, in this music video. And all of a sudden, because right before it was fading. Oh, it was panning away. It was scrolling away from him. He was becoming smaller and smaller. The background, when you could barely see him, it then panned in, and he's running and fearful. He's just like the people in the background. I took it as more of like that transition being like, he's done. His part of this is done. Now he's got to go become part of his own background, and he's got to run, and he's got to be, and he's now thrown away. Damn. That's more of how I took that, because I saw it as such a hard transition. I didn't think the weed and that were comparable, and that's kind of the biggest symbol to me, where I thought of, you know, when we're done with Sambo, and this is going to sound really harsh, but like when we're done with Sambo, what do we do with them? We just forget about them. We just throw them to the wolves. We just throw them here. And, you know, don't catch you slipping. It's almost kind of like, you know, when you slip, you get back into the system, because there's so many black men and people of color and so many folks that have just, they didn't slip. You know, they moved on. They got jobs. They got out of jail, and they're making something of themselves, and then they're, you know, becoming a good example, essentially, just like anybody else can be. You know, for the community. But there's so many people that aspire, but because of the system that we live in, they do slip up, and sometimes it's not even their own fault. They get caught in so many things. Like there was with that book Monster, I believe that the kid was
The thing is too that why is it us that, you know, don't catch us slipping up? Why why us? You know what I'm saying? Why are we the ones where if we slip up, it's, another black man in jail, smoking that weed, or, you know, oh, he got shot because of this and that. Why us? Why are we so incredibly monitored, and it's just such a concern that I have.
I mean, granted, all stereotypes do have truth to them, and I'm not going to really go deep into that, but it's like, there's so many things that were, you know, a lot of times people in minorities and people within the stereotypes, you know, any stereotype, it's like they're tricked into it themselves. They feel like that's how they have to act. Like me, I felt like I've had to act certain ways in certain situations as myself, as a white man. You know, I've got to be quiet, got to be humble, got to be this way or this way, that way, when, you know, maybe I should have been more outspoken, you know, in certain situations. But like, you know, but it's something that, you know, and I'm kind of tying this back also into the whole gun control and stuff thing too, but this all kind of ties into kind of what we can do as a people. I want to get a little more kind of affirmative action here. You know, it's true when they say like education is the power, you know, education is knowledge is power. Education is the way to go. And it's not just going to school. Like I have such strong opinions about school and education and intelligence and the differences of, but, you know, with guns, the more that we educate both sides about, you know, what we should do and then what guns really are, you know, the less fear is going to be around them. There's going to be less, you know, buzz around them, you know, and as well as we teach groups where it's like, you know, we should not be fearful of one another. We shouldn't be at all, you know, concerned and like buying into stereotypes. Once we educate people on stereotypes on both ways, where, you know, we don't have, you know, as horrible as it sounds, you know, white people that have to cross the street when they see a black man coming, or, you know, where they see like, you know, a white woman coming to the store and like, oh great, they're gonna give me some business, or I'm gonna be watched by this woman. You know, the more that we educate and we truly become, you know, open to society, which we can do. We've done it for other minority groups. We did it for the Italians back in the day. We did it for, you know, even Asians back in the day. You know, it's interesting that the pardon my French here, like the darker people have gotten hit harder for this long.
You mean darker skin?
Darker skin people, yes. Sorry. Yeah, let me.
He meant darker skin.
Yeah.
And that's just... Logan and I are very honest with each other, and we're having a conversation to each other.
Yeah.
And I realize that he doesn't know the language, and please realize that too.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying anything.
No,
he meant darker skinned people.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a little shocking with this too, just to kind of get an idea. I'm not trying to be ignorant, obviously. I'm talking about this with an open mind, like... And I don't know the language that, because language is a really hard thing. So in a lot of these podcasts, I'm kind of going to stick to the language that I know of. And if there's an issue with it, I'll disarm it, you know, later on, because we're too focused on language in a
basically
lot of these things.
Basically, what I think that the title, okay, this is America. What is America? Okay, we have two different points of views is what I think Logan is trying to say. Mm-hmm. We have not even two different. There is not one person that will agree with the next person on what America is.
Absolutely not.
A lot of my white family members, white friends, white church members don't understand my America. And what we're asking is to just sit down, watch this video, and listen to a black man talk about his America. Mm-hmm. The things that... You know, we do kind of agree on as a black community, the things that are happening in the black community. This is sort of a nod to that, but also this is to let white people in. This is very shocking. There's disturbing images, but this is for conversations.
Transparency as well, which is a huge theme that I love in my life that it bleeds in with anything. Transparency with, you know, within government, within people, within families. You know, this is a very transparent video, and I was kind of scared for when I first heard about it, watching it. I'm like, oh no, what's this really going to be about? What's going to happen in this? What's he going to talk about? But, you know, what is he going to rag on? What is he going to, like, bring an opinion? But he did such a wonderful job of, it's more informative than it is opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more just a telling of life. It's so much more story.
It's not an opinion, and I feel like I've seen so many articles where people are... talking about what did you just say? I'm so sorry.
I know. I just lost my train of thought too. We're both looking at the lyrics here, trying to find our next point.
Well, where people are kind of talking about, I guess, like, what I've heard is, oh, is this all in your head? Are you over exaggerating your idea of America? I've had lots of people give that to me. And I'm like, you can't over-exaggerate the literal killing of black people. You cannot do that. You cannot over-exaggerate the violence with guns. Like I said, guns can be used for recreational purpose, as long as it's appropriate. That's something Logan will talk about later. Yeah. I'm not into that. He'll talk about that.
No.
I get that. But we cannot deny these things. Logan cannot deny my experience. I can't deny Logan's, but what we can do is again, seriously, educate each other. Something that really struck me too was the outro of the song, when Childish is running for his life, which is so powerful.
He's got so full of emotion.
So much fear in his face, and
it's amazing how he did that.
The outro is a little snippet by Young Thug, and the lyrics are, "You're just a black man in this world, just a barcode, just a black man in this world, driving expensive foreigns. You're just a big dog. I kneeled him in the back. I kenneled him, not kneeled him. I kenneled him in the backyard. No, probably ain't life to a dog for a big dog." So, so finally, we'll kind of wrap up at least this part with this, right?
Yeah.
This ending.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, no matter how much money Childish has, no matter what he does, what he wears, no matter the dance moves he does, the distractions he gives, he is still a black man. Quote unquote, running for his life, cannot be caught slipping, you know, has to exude the sort of lifestyle which can make police officers uncomfortable, which he talks about. the one line, you're just a big dog, spelled D-A-W-G.
Dog.
You know, dog. You're just, and obviously that's parallel to the word dog, D-O-G, which he does use. I kenneled him in the backyard. When he talks about that, you know, kennel has some bars on it. So where else has bars? Jail does. I think that black men and black women, but I don't know why I just feel like black men feel this more for their lives, is that their lives are just kind of circled around this sort of jail, this impending jail sentence.
Especially the more poor.
Or like they're on the backs of jail sentences of their ancestors or their family members or whoever, they're on the backs of that. Yeah. You're just a dog. You're not a human being. Yeah. You're just a black man.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, equating that black man to this not human thing.
Animalistic aspect. And Rachel took that really interesting prison aspect, which I believe in as well. I like it. The more that I was just reading it into it now, I think because like he's not so much talking in the video, and it didn't bring up so much of the prison thing. So I mean that's a great interpretation. That is an aspect probably to this, but more of it. I mean, since it was so media rich and this like kind of like criticizing the way that we use media and stuff, I just more of it was just kind of like I was saying, you know, where he was running, you know, and now that, because you know, even the entertainer, he's still got to run too. It's more of like, you know, that separation of, you know, his humanity and what he is presented in the media. Kind of like we see these young black people dancing, and we're like, oh, that's hilarious, I want to learn how to dance like that, and we use these things up, and we use
them up, but
exactly. But then once it comes down to it, and once they try to reach on our equal, almost, it's kind of like, oh, I kennel him in the backyard, you know, just he's a big dog. He's a big dog. Look at him, you know. He's it's almost. The symbol is kind of like a pet, almost, kind of thing, even though, you know, we don't necessarily look at it like that.
No, yeah, as much, like, but let it do tricks for you, but then when it acts bad, you got to put it in the kennel.
Exactly.
And that, whoa.
Yeah.
Wowzer.
Yeah, that's a pretty hefty statement there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is, you know, this is a very concentrated, I'll say, and a very exaggerated. I mean, also not exaggerated very much as well, but like these symbols are very exaggerated, but that's because that's kind of how humans work. We don't really work in long term. We don't really work in subtlety, especially when it comes into black culture and people. We need these
extreme images. Yeah. We just do. In our hearts, we do not believe that this music video would have been as effective as it has been starting these conversations if Childish was showing images of whatever. Like, he needed to do this. Yeah. He needed to shock people. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, did he just shoot that guy in the head?
Exactly. But people, there's a thing, especially in media, that I like to call the pendulum swing. I mean, this is kind of a common term, where it's like, if you think about the civil rights, like, there was such an oppression and repression of black rights and black people and stuff. And so as soon as they started, you know, gaining traction and their rights, it kept swinging, but it's kept so much momentum where nowadays we're seeing this huge extreme of that end where, you know, the culture that we have nowadays, but we're also starting to see it kind of reel back to where it should be. And that's with anything, especially even like mental health issues, music and anything. We see this, like, especially in, like, the 70s, where, like, for that time, it was this huge pendulum thing where they're going crazy, you know, free love, naked people, drugs, but it's kind of toned down. And so there's this whole pendulum swing thing, and I think this is one of those pendulum swings of, you know, but in a different direction, not just culture and just shock and awe, but of conversation, of something, of representation of reality. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's these acts of violence and stuff, but it's not like a parody of real life. It is a representation of real life. And a lot of these things is the life that he has. And he uses all the lyrics from things that are taken out of real life. Yeah, media, but that's real life to a lot of people. The next generation under us, since we're millennials, they don't know an existence without social media. We knew an existence without it, grounded in the real world. Yeah, we had cell phones when we were growing up, but...
So if he's going to impact this next generation, mm-hmm. who... we're hoping to lead us. Mm-hmm. We have people like Emma Gonzalez. We have, you know, these young people that are, you know, doing the March for Our Lives or whatever. These are people who are hoping to lead us. he's trying to connect to them through a social media lens.
Absolutely.
Which is okay. That's their world. And then that's how we got to reach them. That's how we got to reach them.
This media thing, and I'm kind of an old soul in this thing. I really don't like it. I wish it wasn't the way that it was. And like I get kind of crotchety. I'm like, oh, there's media, la-da-da-da-da-da. But like it's their life now. Like I said, they don't know anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we as the older, you know, not we, but even like our parents and stuff, where it's like, you know, we just hand them at ages 2 years old, hand them an iPad and, you know, watch these movies, watch these TV shows, play these games. Like, they're just indoctrinated. It's a new age. It's what's going on next. And so we need to address it. And we've done a pretty shoddy job of addressing it and kind of, and like, oh yeah, let's incorporate this. But then they just abuse it. But like, This is kind of one of the first videos I've seen where he integrates it into the music video in a really open way where it's still grounded in real life. There's a way that to be done, and this is a really good example of doing it.
And then sort of lastly, which I think really encompasses exactly everything we've been talking about, something I didn't even notice until, yeah, guys, a BuzzFeed article. You can judge me all you want, but it was informative. So there is this, in the background, in one of the parts where he's dancing with the children, this white horse, a guy on the white horse with, like, he's in, like, all black. He's got this black hood. And he's being followed by a police car.
Oh, I forgot.
So a person tweeted, his name, he's at Persons Isaiah. He said, death riding the pale white horse while he's followed by hell, represented by police, going totally unnoticed because of the dancing and pop culture in the foreground, is the single greatest cinematic message I've seen in a music video to date. And then there's a Bible verse that coincides with that, and it's Revelation 6:8. And it says, quote, "And I looked, and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him."
Hmm.
Unquote. I would say to wrap this up, because, right?
Yeah, you're finishing this thoughts. This is long.
Yeah. My finishing thoughts is, I think that encompasses the whole video. I feel like black men, women, and children are afraid. There's lots of violence and hatred in this world, unfortunately, because of racism. And it does make me a little bit emotional. I have to kind of like stop myself from getting emotional. I feel like I'm sad that police officers are being seen as, quote, like as in the scripture, you know, the hell part. They're being seen as death, something to be afraid of. That makes me sad because I do know such amazing police officers. Guys, when I'm in a pickle, who the hell do I call? I call a police officer. I don't call anybody. When I'm in a real, real bind, I will call a police officer. I know that they'll help me.
I can't do everything.
Right, Logan can't do everything. It does make me sad. It makes me sad that black people feel scared. It makes me sad that there are children that have died. There are children who have lost their fathers, their mothers, wives who have lost husbands, husbands who have lost husbands, men who have died because they've been suffocated. You know, somebody putting their knee on their chest and they can't breathe. Guys, this is something that these are conversations we need to have. So for our white friends, for friends who are more conservative, for friends who don't understand what I'm saying, please try to sit down and just realize my experiences are different than yours. And I don't mean to take over Logan's podcast, but he's letting me talk, and he's really good at doing that. He's really good at allowing my voice to be heard.
Mm-hmm. You're my guest. I have to be quiet.
He's a jerk. This is so hard because there are so many people who are going to say, yeah, well, what about white cops? What about cops who are getting shot out here? What about black on black crime? Guys, those are all things happening. My grandfather says that to me all the time. You want to talk about a conservative? Calling you out, Dwayne. Grandpa is the most. Me and Logan have gone head to head with my grandfather so many times.
In a respectful way.
Oh, yeah, in a respectful way, of course. But I know that those things are happening. And all of it is very scary. I think that we all need to hear each other. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for police officers getting shot. I don't have an answer for black-on-black crime. And in reality, even though it does make me mad, I still don't have the answers for cops shooting innocent black people. What I can say is what I know. So please don't be offended by this, because this is all that I know. I know that within black communities, there is disgusting black-on-black crime because of colorism within the community. You're too light. You're too dark. You're part of this. You're part of that. You did this.
You a blood. You a crip. Whatever it is.
Okay. And sorry. Logan's sorry. Taking it there. Nope. That's not everything. Sorry. Well, him and my I will bad. Talk about that later. No, you're fine. I think that I don't know. I don't know. I know that I'm upset, and I know that this makes me emotional. I think that voices need to be heard. I think that the differences between the black community and then like a police officer shooting a black person is that from all that I've seen on media is that that black person most of the time is either unarmed, innocent, begging for their lives. You know, with black on black crime, it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's a reason for black people or anybody shooting a police officer. But what I'm saying is what I know that police officers shooting black people is that there's an innocence there. And it scares me and it makes me sad.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought she was referring to something else. That's why I said what I said. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, but there are gangs in black.
That's what I was.
And that's part of it too.
I was trying to be humorous. I'm sorry, everybody. If anybody got offended by that, I apologize. But my concluding thoughts is that I really enjoy this because there have been a lot of kind of not autobiographies, but like you know, kind of introspective music videos like this about life and stuff. I mean, there's been a lot of things, but it's all been very flashy. It's all been like, you know, like, oh, you know, they're dressed up gloriously and, you know, they got the chains and stuff. I apologize for that, everybody. But, you know, and then that's really the take to show the gregariousness of it. But I think that, because like, just like I was talking about, he wasn't subtle about a lot of things. He was subtle about all the right things where like, he was subtle in the way that he did show that same aspect of, you know, the flashiness and the showiness of rap culture and stuff, but he only did it with his words. He didn't do it with his he didn't do it at all really with visual. It was all other than maybe like the chains that he had on, and then you know some of the maybe some other characters that we didn't notice. But like for the most part, there wasn't a single bit of flashy anything. I'm sure this was a very cheap music video, you know, because there wasn't a whole lot into it, but. It's interesting because he wasn't taking at all that stance. He wasn't showing that part of the culture. He was taking the real issues. He was taking the reality. He was taking gun violence. He was taking police brutality into account. And I didn't see a lot of white background actors at all either. He was taking a lot of the community that he's representing in this and showing off of like showing us people, because he's a famous person. This is going everywhere. He's not saying this just to his own community. He's expressing it, but he's expressing what the community really is afraid of, what's kind of going on, and like showing you a reality of it, as well as tying in how media is kind of trying to cover it up, and him representing himself as the media, you know, until the very end. You know, where at the very end he's showing his own vulnerability to that cover-up and that attacking of the culture. And it was just so interesting to see a way that he so subtly and intricately wove in all of these things that, you know, both sides feel. You know, we both, what we see and what they feel and what we feel and what they see. You know, it's so interesting. I loved every bit of it. And, you know, and it's kind of my concluding thought there, and so I'm going to thank Rachel for coming onto my podcast with me and
thank you
showing me up and all her intelligence.
I had to come, guys. He's really cute.
Oh, Stop. It's not like we live with each other. But I really hope this is informative to you. Obviously, follow my Facebook page, you know, Pop the Thoughts. Follow me if you want. You can ask questions there anytime. I'm going to probably find a way to maybe make a email if you want to email me stuff and stuff. And if there's anything you guys want to talk about or hear about, me and Rachel talk, me talk about.
I know you can, that you're going to be talking about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be talking about a lot.
Yeah, me and you are. We're going to try to be doing this more, and not just with political things as well. We might just have some fun episodes where we unpack Taylor Swift's newest video or something like that. You know, just something fun, just something for everybody. We really wanted to get deep and dark and gritty with this the first time, so... You know, like I said, I really hope you guys learned something from this. I really hope that it was interesting to you, and I hope it just catches your attention. So this is going to go up in a little bit. I already posted kind of your homework for it. And so share this with your friends. Share this everywhere you can. You can find me on iTunes, Overcast, Anchor, and a couple more that I'm forgetting right now. And so there's going to be more coming along the way, whether you like it or not. So, we're gonna figure this out. So. Thanks for tagging along, my fellow thinkers. Do something noteworthy, even if it's only to yourself. And we'll see you next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.